It's one of the greatest passages in the whole Bible, one of the best loved, one of the most quoted, one of the most comforting verses in the chapters in the entire Bible is Psalm 23. I'm going to take one verse out of it, or part of a verse tonight, and we're going to do a little study. I'm not going to preach, so we're going to interact here a little bit. You want to help me? That'd be good. Sunday night, if you didn't get Sunday night's message, I don't know if we've got any copies of it or not, but you can probably get it tonight if you'd like to. I preached on the signs that are in and all the stuff that's going to be happening supposedly next week. That fourth blood moon, actually at the end of the week, Sunday or Monday, we're also going to have a full moon that week. Also, the Pope will be coming to address our Congress on the 24th. That's a week from tomorrow. And the 70th Jubilee ends a week from today, the 23rd. And there's a lot of people predicting all kind of crazy stuff. I don't know how many of you had time to check out that CERN, C-E-R-N thing. Anybody have time to look at that? You ought to check that out. That's some scary stuff. Now, we don't set dates. It might just go right on through and nothing happen. The Lord might not come for 5 more years. But I'll tell you something else. He might come in 5 hours. He's coming. He's coming one of these days. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety. He never heard so much talk about peace and had less peace than we got today. Tonight, all them Republicans are going to be fussing and arguing and trying to prove they're the best one for the job. And I have no idea what's going to happen in this next election. I heard some people, I was listening to radio. I went to town today. I went up, I had to go to Marion to pray with this man who's dying with cancer, literally dying. And I wish y'all pray for that man. He's sitting in a little house up there tonight, just blankets all over him, trying to stay warm, and him a little dog in that house, and he's dying. And may not have another day or so to live, or a few days. So y'all pray for him. And I was going up there, and I was coming back, and I was listening to the radio, and it said all kinds of people have vowed to move and leave America if Donald Trump gets elected president. That's bad, and I thought, Lord, he's a nut, but I ain't moving out of America. About anything would be improvement. Let's pray for Dr. Carson and all them guys. I'd like to see him do something. He's a smart man. But anyway, either way you look at it, bad times are coming on this world. Either way you look at it. If you weren't here Sunday night, get that CD on Psalm 122 from Sunday night and listen to it. There's some scary stuff going on. All that stuff's supposed to happen like every day next week. And I don't know, it may just be a normal week. But then again, it may not. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in these next few days and weeks and years if Jesus tarries his coming and doesn't come? Here's what we'll do. Look at Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what I want to talk about tonight. I want you to get it in your heart. Thou art with me. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. The Lord is with us. He's with his people. You know, I preached a message on that sometime back, how that the Lord's with his people. Well, the greatest promises in the Bible was when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care how bad it gets. God will never forsake his people. You know, my girls, they're back yonder somewhere in the back. I'm not going to turn my back on them. I mean, they ain't always done what I want them to, but they're my kids. They're my flesh and bones and blood, and I'm not going to turn my back on them. And you know how much more God, if his children, bone of his bone, we're a part of his body. He is not going to turn his back on us. He's not going to leave us. Hebrews 13:5 said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I'll say just two or three things here tonight, and you can help me if you want to. You stay faithful and stay right with God, and he'll help you. D.L. Moody, they said, used to sign, when he'd sign his name, said he had a real manly signature, and old Moody would write Dwight L. Moody, and his favorite verse was Isaiah 1:7, and it said, "For the Lord God will help me." Now, I got saved when I was 18 years old, and I've been through some ups and downs, and a lot of ups and a lot of downs, and I've been through some hard times, but there's never been 1 second when he's left me. And I got news for you tonight. There will never be 1 second when I have to wonder where God went, or I have to wonder, has he left me? Now, our problem is this. We go by our feelings. We think, well, I just don't feel the Lord tomorrow. I just can't feel the Lord. I don't mean nothing. You're not saved by your feelings. You're not kept by your feelings. God don't dwell in you or here by your feelings. He's here because he said he's here. He's here because he said he's here. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," period. That's it. That's it. So the Lord's with us. Let's talk about it for a little bit. You know, when you're going through fiery trials, do you know the Lord, he ain't going to leave you? When we say fiery trials, you know exactly. If anybody in here has ever been through a divorce, you've ever been through any kind of betrayal or anything, you know what fiery trials mean. Because it, honest to goodness, it feels like you're burning on the inside. That's why somebody, when their mate cheats on them, or their husband leaves, they lose weight. And they say, "You don't even have to try to go on a diet, brother. You burn it off. You worry it off. It feels like you're burning." I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but many of you know what that feeling's like. You just burn. I mean, it feels like you're burning down your arms. It feels like somebody takes a pair of pliers and reaches in here and gets your nerves and jerks them out the end of your arms. I mean, when you lay down, you think, "I dread night time. I don't want to go to sleep." When it's morning, you think, "I don't want to get up. Don't have to think about it." The happiest time of your day is when you first wake up and there's about 5 seconds goes by. Bang! It sticks you in the gut again. And you start, if you've been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I got good news for you. Hallelujah. He ain't going to leave you when you're in that shape. And the perfect example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Back out in the book of Daniel, you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they come before the king, and the king made this law, said, you can't bow down to no other god but me forever how many days or whatever, and I'm making a law and making a decree. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't do it, and they bowed to the Lord, and they hauled them in there. And back in them days, buddy, the king was absolute monarch, absolute dictator. And they had the fiery furnace. They didn't mess around, no electric chair and lethal injection. Son, they throwed you in a furnace. And the furnace, I don't know how big it was, probably maybe as big as this section over here. And they took them three men, heated that fire up 7 times, hotter than it was normally heated. That's hot, brother. It was so hot it burnt, killed them men that threw them in. Now that happened literally. But God put that in the Bible so that when me and you go through fiery trials, he can do the same thing for us. Now it might happen to us literally before it's over with. We ain't got no promise it won't. But it sure can and has happened to us spiritually. And I love that story because they brought up old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they stood out there before the king. This ought to help us, especially in the day we're living in. Reminds me of that Kim Davis girl, that magistrate up there in Kentucky. And they stood there like this, and they said, "Bow down." And they said, "No, king gonna do it." And they said, "If you don't, we're gonna throw you in the fire." And they said, "Look, here's the way it is, king. Our God that we serve, he made the whole world and everything. He is able to deliver us from that fire. And so, we serve him. But I want to tell you something. Even if he don't, we still ain't going to bow down and serve you, God." Man, that's sad. Lord, that ought to make every red-blooded man in here say, "Glory to God, that's the way I want to be." Amen. God, give us grace if it ever comes our turn to do the same thing. I hope and pray I'd have the grace to do that. I like that answer. They said, "Look, king, throw us in the fire. God could cause a miracle. Come right now and rapture us out of here. But if he don't, guess what? We ain't bound down no way." And you know what he said? He said, throw them in. And they took these guys and wham. Oh, they put ropes on them like that. And they threw them in that fire. And the king looked in there and said, well, that'll teach you. See, everybody, watch what happens to you when you don't do what I say. The whole kingdom out there. And he went, I'm going to go sit down. Fix me a steak. Fix me something to eat and bring it to me. About that time, one of his servants came over and said, what? King. Look. He said, you're crazy. Get out of here. Look. Just look. If you don't believe me, look. And the king looked over there. And the first thing that was weird was he saw people walking around. You don't do that in the middle of a furnace, a fire. And then it got even worse than that. He started going, one, two, three. How many people did we throw in there? They said three. Well, he said, I see four men walking loose. And they said, how come they ain't dying and how come there's four of them? And buddy, don't you know that shook up that old boy's day? Glory to God. He said, now how come? And you know, this old world's watching us, y'all. The world's watching you. People you know is watching you. When you go through that fire, they see when the Lord's with you. Boy, I'll finish this story in a minute. I picked up an old drunk one time up in Marion, and he knew, you know, everybody in Marion knew me and knew the problems I've been through. I picked this old boy up. He was drunk. And I said, man, how you been doing? He said, pretty good. How are you, Danny? And I said, I'm doing fine. He said, y'all been through a lot up there, ain't you? I said, sure have, brother. And he said, you've been through some hard times. He said, I want you to know, if I ever come to church, that's where I'm coming. And you know what he was saying? He said, I seen that man walking with you in that fire. They can see it. They can see. Somebody must be walking with them. Somebody's with them. They couldn't go through what they're going through unless somebody was walking with them. And boy, they was in there walking, and he went there and said, come out of there. Get out of here. And Shadrach said, no, man, it's cool. Got the air conditioning on in here. We're just chilling in here. You know, it feels really good. And hallelujah, I'm afraid to leave here. Lord, I want you to go with me. And the Lord said, are you going out of the fire? And he said, yeah. He said, well, I'm just going to ease on back to heaven. You don't need me in the flesh right now. And the Lord took off back to heaven, and they stepped out, and you couldn't even smell smoke on them. That woman that came up and grabbed me in Florida the other night, I smell smoke on me, buddy. This crazy woman come in while I was preaching down there. She came down the aisle like that and she hugged me like that right there and took off out the door. She's demon possessed or something. I don't know what's wrong with her. But she's on and she said, now let's don't hate. Let's don't hate. I said, okay. And she took off out the door and I had the smell of smoke on me, boy. I tell you, I pick up people and say, you been smoking? No, Daddy has. You know, the smell of smoke. Come on. And oh, shit. They come out of that fire and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. And if all it burned off was them ropes that they had put on them. That's one way you know the Bible's true, stuff like that. That'll preach, you know. The only thing that fire burned off is what the world put on them boys. And that'll preach. I'm telling you. Listen, you go through the fire and God puts you through the fiery furnace. All's going to get rid of is the stuff that the world put on you anyway. It burned some stuff off me before. And it'll burn it off you too. You get burnt good enough, it'll burn this world off of you, thank God. And so the Lord's with you. All the fire burned off is what the world put on. Amen? Don't try to hold God's hand. You just let Him hold yours. And you do the trusting. Old Charles Wagle, that old boy, his wife left him, and he sat down at the piano and started writing. He wrote that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. I heard a guy say the other day, he wrote a bunch of gospel songs, and they said, how did you write such beautiful songs? And you know what his answer was? Trouble. Trouble. He said, you write songs when you're hurting. You write music and you write poetry when you're hurting or when you're really, really happy. And thank God, the Lord is with you, y'all. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Let me mention something else. The Lord won't leave you and He won't forsake you when you're sick. When you're sick. Now, if you're not careful, Son, they can get you in the hospital and pump you full of drugs and shoot needles in you, and you won't even know if there is a God or not. But I'm telling you, He's still with you. He's still with you. Even if you can't find Him, He's got you in His hands. When I've told you before, when I ripped that ACL ligament in my knee, and two people fell on me like this. And it went out like that, and I felt it. It was like a rubber band, like, and man, my knee was going like this. It wouldn't stay straight. And they took me to, I went to the doctor the next day, took some Tylenol that night and tried to sleep. Went to the doctor the next day. They sent me to Asheville. He did x-rays. He said, had to do two surgeries on it, went in this way and went in that way. And I'm telling you, it hurt. It felt like somebody's hitting it with a hammer. And they give me something, and I'm telling you what, it cut me off spiritually. I said, Lord, that's it. I couldn't think of nothing to say. About 5 minutes later, I'd say, Dear Lord. As far as I could get, brother. And I remember thinking, I can't pray. Why can't I pray? And then it hit me. I thought, that's why all these people out here are on drugs and stuff. But that stuff cuts you off from God. I mean, it cuts you off spiritually. And I said, good night. I said, whatever that is, I don't want it. I won't be able to talk to the Lord. It fell off. It's like I couldn't reach Him. But guess what? If I'd have died right there, He'd have took me right straight home to be with Him. Because He'll never leave us. Isn't that a blessing, y'all? Listen, the world's falling apart. People say, if we can just make it till next November, are you kidding me? It's going to be worse. And it'll be worse the next year and the next year. The Bible said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving men to see. Thank the Lord, He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. Glory to God. Some of the best saints of all time were sick. Don't you believe this doctrine going around that if you're right with God, you'll never get sick? I mean, you got to get sick sometime. You got to die. I mean, if that was true, even people would never die. But you're going to get sick. You will get sick. I don't care how much scripture you know, how right you live. All them sins from your youth are going to catch up with you one of these days. And this whole body starts falling apart, and finally it dies. And you're going to... I seen my sister, Sandy. Many of y'all remember my sister, Sandy. And she laid on the bed for years, literally. It took her almost 5 years to die. She got cancer at 35, and they said, they did all her treatments and everything. And then when she's 37, they said, we think you're cured. If it don't come back in 2 or 3 years, you're cured. And it did. When she was 39, she was laying on the bed, getting littler and littler and littler. And I seen her just draw up like that. She looked like a skeleton with skin on it. My daddy would sit there and he'd take a popsicle, like a pop, and just rub it on her lips. Because she couldn't eat. And she could eat a few bites of watermelon once in a while. And I'll never forget, on the 4th of July, the Lord took her home on the 4th of July, and we was all there in the house because we knew it was coming. And I laid down to take a nap in the other room, and I heard my mom go screaming through the house. Mama screaming when she died. And I got to thinking, and Sandy told me, she wrote poems and she wrote songs, and she said, Danny, do this and do that and the other. I want you to preach my funeral. And I want you to talk to my boys. She done had everything all took care of and worked out. And I seen her suffer. And I thought, man, I don't ever want to see nobody suffer like that. But you know what? There's thousands of them right now. That poor old guy I talked to at Marion this today. I felt so sorry for him. My heart, him and a dog, brother. Him and a little dog in that house all by himself. Leaving these last few days. And you know what? I asked him, I said, Mike, are you saved? And he said, yeah. He said, I know. He said, I come heard you preach a few times. And he said, I said, you know you've been saved. And he said, I sure do. And I said, you ain't going to have to worry. The Lord's going to give you something better when you leave this world. I'm telling you what, y'all. I'm telling you what. Don't get discouraged just because everything don't happen overnight. Adoniram Judson, the famous missionary to Burma, they said he labored 6 years in Burma before he had one convert. Never had one baptized his first convert after 6 years. Can you imagine? I remember when we first started this church, it was 2 weeks before somebody got saved, and I was all to pieces. I thought, Lord, are you really in this? What's going on? And the second Sunday night, man got saved. And can you imagine, 6 years, not one person finally had his first convert, and God blessed him. The Lord will hold his word. The Lord's a king. He's better than the rulers of this world. I heard a story, I read where a guy was in prison of this Eastern monarch, some big world ruler many, many years ago, and had this criminal standing before the monarch and his royal subjects all around him. They're going to burn this guy, kill him right then and there. And they said, do you have any requests before you die? He said, yes, I'd like to have a cup of cold water. And they give him, he said, give him his request. And that old boy got that cup of cold water, and he's shaking like that. He was shaking, the water is coming out. And he couldn't even drink it. And the monarch said, go ahead and drink it. Your life is safe till you drink that water. And he heard that, and he threw it on the ground. He said, Your Majesty, you said I was safe till I drank that water. And that heathen king looked back at him and said, you're right. You've got me. Everybody heard me say that. Your life is spared. Take off. Go home. Now, the heathen king, brother, he said, I can't break my word. Listen, God Almighty, who swore by himself that he cannot lie, the night he saved you, started a work in you, and he will perform that in you till he gets you home to glory one of these days, and you're over there shouting, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, that is shouting ground. Hallelujah. Think about that. You think about that tonight. Think about it. The thing about the Lord being with you, if a heathen king is going to keep his promise to a crazy criminal, how much more is God Almighty, who is love, going to keep his word to his own children? You're in, man. You're in. He's going to take you home one of these days. Shout about that, buddy. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more. If you want to interrupt me, feel free to do so. I thought a lot about them people persecuted by ISIS. Man, I'm telling you, them guys out there on their knees like this with them black bags over their head, and them guys standing there with them big long knives. And you know, you want to think, if they cut my head off, it's going to be scary, but maybe I can just lay down there and it'll just go whack, and I won't really feel a... Them knives, they saw it off. They saw you. It takes a few minutes. And man's screaming there. I hope and pray God give us grace. Somebody told me yesterday, somebody told them, why it won't never happen here. We don't know that. We don't know that. We ain't no better than them people in Sudan. We ain't no better than they are. We don't know what we might have to go through. But it beats the alternative, don't it? Of living for the devil and going to hell. Let's enjoy that promise that the Lord today. Well, I'll say another thing, and that is, even if you go to jail, now I hope you don't have to go to jail. And I don't know who in here has been to jail and who ain't. I know on Sunday mornings, we do have people here that have been to jail and maybe on their way sometime in the future. If you've been in jail here tonight, I don't even know if anybody in here has been in jail. I'm not, you know, ain't. We all probably should have at one time or another in our life. There's one preacher told this guy, he said, the only difference between us and you is you got caught and we didn't. We've all done stuff we ought to be in jail for. Amen? But did you know, if you even wind up in jail, the Lord's still going to be with you? Now, we know he was with Peter and Paul. We know he got them out of jail. We know he's with John the Baptist, even though they cut his head off. We know he was with, people like Corrie Ten Boom and Lester Roloff and all them great saints of God. But let me ask you a question. What if you do something wrong? You go out here and act stupid and get backslid and get locked up. Guess what? He's still going to be with you in jail. You say, Brother Danny, he wouldn't do it. He was with Samson. Samson got full of the devil and got messed up, and he got his own eyes put out by the enemy, and the Bible said he's in there and said, the hair of his head began to grow again. Now, the power of God left Samson when he backslid. The Lord took his hand and power off of him when he got his hair cut, but the hair of his head began to grow again. You can. I'm not saying you should, but if you have messed up and wound up in jail, there's people in jail. Listen to me. They'll probably hear this. You can get right with God, and God will still be with you. He's still with you. He ain't never going to leave you. Don't you think because you've committed a crime, you wind up with a record that God can never bless you or never use you. You know, Kent Hovind, he's out now preaching. Thank God. Hallelujah. Him going to jail didn't make me think one bit less of him. Not one bit. He didn't do anything wrong deliberately. Technically, he might have, but I don't think he meant to deliberately. And even if he did, if his heart was right with God, God still, it will bless him and use him. So don't ever think because you've messed up that God's not going to bless you and be with you no more. Don't think that. Because the devil put his foot in his head and says, well, look what you done. All these good people at church ain't never done nothing like you've done. Well, that's a lie. You just don't know about what all the good people at church have done. And the truth is, ain't none of us deserve God's blessings. But thank the Lord, He won't leave us. Thank the Lord, He won't leave us. And He'll be with you in trouble. Look at all the stories in the Bible, the Red Sea. Man, that Red Sea story, buddy. Here's Moses leading them out through there, and Aaron, and Pharaoh comes up behind them. Mountains over here, desert over here, and there's the Red Sea. That's a mess. That's a mess to be in. You got 1 million people on foot following you. What are you going to do? Ocean in front of you, mountains, sea. I mean, good night, man. I'm telling you what, you think about it, it's like Lone Ranger and Tonto, buddy. Moses and Aaron out there. Moses and Aaron, you know, they said Lone Ranger and Tonto, they was run out in the middle one time, and 10,000 Indians come up behind them, 10,000 Indians come up beside them, and 10,000 Indians come up this other side, 10,000 come up, and Lone Ranger said, what are we going to do now, Tonto? And he said, what do you mean we, white man? And he's an Indian. And that's the way Moses felt. He said, uh-oh, I'm caught from every side. And I'm telling you something, brother, you know what he did? He said, Lord ain't left us. He didn't lead us out here to destroy us. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know. Moses was a man just like me. Don't you know? He said, okay, Lord, here goes. Here goes. And son, the Lord said, phew. And that water just stands up like that right there. And down there. And that's what he'll do to you, for you in your trouble. Them bills you can't pay. That fat kid you got that's rebelling. Or that family problem that you've got, God will make a way when there is no way. He'll make a way when there is no way. Trust Him. He'll take care of you. Trust Him with your church. Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your kids. Trust Him with your marriage. Trust Him with your income. Trust Him with your house. Trust Him with you. You know, some people worry all the time. And you might as well just say, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You'll worry yourself to death about stuff that ain't you can't do nothing about no way. All right, somebody want to help me right quick? We ain't got but about 5 more minutes here, and the kids will be tearing the walls down back there. So somebody want to help make a comment? Maybe something you went through personally that you know the Lord was with you. You feel free to say that right now. If you ever have doubts, I'm sure y'all do. You think, good night, man. How do I know I even really am saved? What if everybody goes through times like that? You know what you do? I told that guy I witnessed to today with cancer. I got on his little chair, and I said, see what I'm doing to this chair? I'm leaning on it. I'm leaning on this. I'm trusting it to hold me up. That's what I'm doing to Jesus Christ with my soul. I'm taking my soul, and I'm leaning on Jesus Christ. And he got it. He said, that thing's got a walker sitting right there beside him. He said, yeah, like I trust that thing to hold me up. I said, that's right. That's right. Just like you trust that walker to hold you up, you trust Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. You cannot go to hell trusting Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. It's impossible. You can go to hell being a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Pentecostal. You can go to hell wearing a tie, carrying a Bible, and living by the golden rule. But you cannot go to hell trusting Jesus Christ. Impossible. Amen? Somebody, right quick. Anybody? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate people backing me up like you do, too. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else, right quick? Anybody else? Now, look, y'all, we're in for some rough days. We're probably going to get a chance to practice. Some of you are going to get a chance to practice what we talked about tonight. And just remember, He's with you. Even if you can't feel Him, He's with you. If you can't see Him, He's with you. Even if it seems like everything's gone, He's still with you. If you lost your job and your house and your health tomorrow, God has not left you. Amen? We got this mentality in America that God, he owes us a house and a good living. No, He don't. No, He don't. Jesus didn't have nowhere to lay His head, but He promised He'd be with us. All right, anybody? Anybody right quick? Well, we're going to take just a minute to pray. Miss Desi, come to the piano.